Well, we have two more sermons in our series. Today we're going to look about what Southern Baptists believe about religious liberty, and that's a pretty hot button issue right now in our culture. As we see certain laws be proposed or even approved that would hinder some of our religious liberties, and as we continue to see a lot of discussion being made in the halls of Congress, both here in our state and across the nation, that could affect our churches, our religious liberties, and we need, Lord, to pray for these. We need to be aware. We need to keep ourselves informed so that we know how to vote. We know when to express our thoughts to our representatives and our senators. And so I think that out of the last two of these of this series, the one on religious liberty is certainly appropriate for the times in which we are living. And then next week we're going to look at what Southern Baptists believe about the family. And I think that's going to be a good way to conclude our series on what Southern Baptists believe. A man by the name of Herschel Hobbs, who has been one of the great leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention in our history, said that religious liberty is the mother of all true freedoms. And as you have on your outline, you will see that our commitment is to religious liberty for all people because we believe that every human being is created in God's image. Now, what does that mean? It means that God's creation, you and I, possess full rights. It means that we possess freedom granted by the Creator, but it also means that we possess full accountability. Religious liberty has always been a Baptist principle and a Baptist passion. And as you look down that outline, you will see that there are three primary areas that we're going to look at as it relates to religious liberty. The first one is that God is the Lord of our conscience. God is the Lord of our conscience. Because religious liberty is not a gift of the U.S. government. It's a gift of God. Let me say that again. Religious liberty is not a gift of the U.S. government, but it's a gift of God. God created humans as moral and spiritual beings, possessing a moral conscience. Therefore, God intends for His human creatures to be both free and responsible. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 8. Verses 32 and 36. If you don't recognize that particular passage, you will as soon as I start reading it. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Verse 36. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. God created us as moral and spiritual beings. And God intends for us to be both free and responsible. And so He says to us, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are free in Christ, because if the Son has set us free, we really will be free. I don't know how many of you know much about Baptist history in America. In the early beginnings of our colonies and of the growth of America, Baptists suffered quite a bit. Early Baptists experienced intense persecution and hostility. I hope all of us haven't been out of school for so long that we have forgotten the name of Roger Williams. Roger Williams was not the only early Baptist to be persecuted. There was a man by the name of Obadiah Holmes who left England and came to Massachusetts for religious freedom. For 12 years, he suffered persecution. And finally, finding the persecution unbearable, he moved to the wilderness area of Newport, Rhode Island. See how far our country has come in its expansion. In July of 1651, Obadiah Holmes and another pastor by the name of John Clark, as well as another man whose name we do not have, traveled 80 miles to Lynn, Massachusetts, to see a blind, aged fellow Baptist. While conducting a worship service in the man's home, see, that was the start of home Bible studies. See how long we've been doing that? But the three men were arrested and sent to Boston for trial. They were ordered to pay a large sum of money, or if they didn't, they would be publicly whipped. People who supported them raised the funds to pay the fine of Clark and the third man. However, Obadiah, on principle, refused for anyone to pay his fine. So he was held in jail until September and then taken to the public whipping post. Stripped to the waist and tied to the post, he received 30 lashes with a 3-cord whip. He was beaten so badly that he had to sleep on his hands and knees for weeks afterwards, unable to lie down. So there is a part of our early Baptist history in America where many of them had fled in order to escape persecution, in order to begin churches that were not controlled by the state. And you see here that there was persecution and struggle for many early Baptists. Now, something else that I think is important and is in your outline is that religious liberty is not mere legal toleration, but it's the recognition that the very nature of humanity implies respect for this right and liberty. Now, you and I don't like every religion that's in our country. We know there are some that are not biblically based. They're called a religion. But when you understand their doctrine, their style of worship, you understand that they are far removed from Scripture as we Southern Baptists understand it. But we still need to respect them because we are a free nation. And churches and religions, regardless of whether they agree with us or have many values and doctrines in common, need to be respected for the right to worship and proclaim what they want. We hear a lot today about the word toleration. We hear a lot of people saying, we need to be tolerant. Well, toleration is a matter of expediency, while liberty is a matter of principle. Sometimes people like to use toleration because they don't want to make a stand. Well, they have a right to think that way. They have a right to be that way. And we shouldn't tell them otherwise. Well, that's being expedient. That's because they don't want to really listen to you. They just want you to listen to them. And so toleration is a gift from man, while liberty is a gift from God. Toleration is a gift from man, while liberty is a gift from God. Now, I want us to note something, and this is in your outline. We are not free from the commandments and doctrines of God's Word, but from the dictates and commandments of earthly powers that are in any way contrary to God's Word. Again, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 4. We will read verses 19 and 20. Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Again, I'm sure you all are aware of a lot of examples in recent years in the culture in which we're living, where Christians are criticized because of our belief in scriptural truth. Just because we're criticized about what we believe doesn't mean that we should keep our mouths shut. We are still responsible and accountable to the commandments and doctrines of God's Word. They have to take priority. We have to live our lives based on biblical truths, not on commandments or dictates of earthly powers that are contrary to God's Word. That's what happened here in Acts chapter 4 and verses 19 and 20. Peter and John were bold enough to tell the Jewish religious leaders, you be the judge. But we know that we have to keep sharing the truth. Whether that means jail time, persecution, whipping, suffering, casting out of Jerusalem, whatever it is. And we need to take that same approach today. Why do you think so many people still want to come to the United States? Yeah, I know there's some bad apples. We know there's fentanyl coming across our southern border by cartels. We know that there are people who want to do harm in America. We know that there are people who are coming in for the wrong reasons. But the majority of people want to come here because they want to be free. Free to worship. Free to find employment. Free to raise their families. But we need, regardless of what it may cost you and I, we have to try to stem this tide of where our culture is headed by not hesitating to share the truths of God's Word when we hear something else being said that is not truth. I was having a discussion with my neighbor the other day. She had come over to see my wife and I. And we got into, we started out in one vein of thinking, but then it began to lead to some other things. And she was sharing about an incident, and she and her husband are wonderful Christian people, an incident where she had a discussion with people who are not biblically based, who are in this woke crowd, and she said they just won't listen. They're not interested. And I got to thinking about that, and I came, and my thought process was, the reason that they think so differently from us is because we're trying to live our lives on biblical principles and they're living their lives on worldly principles. And those two don't go together. How can we expect them to follow Jesus as we try to follow when they don't know Jesus? When they don't know that God's Word is the literal, inspired, without error teaching that we try to follow. We don't do it perfectly. We sin. We make mistakes. We get angry from time to time. We gossip from time to time. I mean, you know, and I have no problem admitting that to somebody that is telling me, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. But that should not stop us from trying to share the truth. Maybe if enough people over a period of time Christians will share the truth with an unbeliever or somebody into this woke culture, if they hear it enough, they may begin to think about, well, maybe this is true. Maybe we're part of planting the seed. Maybe we're part of watering. But sometimes we're going to reap what has been planted by others and watered and cultivated by others. So Peter and John answered them and said, whether it is right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. The Baptist faith and message begins with the affirmation, quote, God alone is Lord of the conscience, and he has left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men which are contrary to his, God's, word. No government has the right to claim coercive power over any individual conscience in matter of faith and religious belief. No government has the right to claim coercive power over any individual's conscience in matters of faith and religious belief. That's happening today. There are many attempts to do that to churches and Christians today. Most of these we've been able to oppose and go to court to keep us with the right to listen to God and not to man. Now this leads us to our second major area, and that's a free church in a free state. The Baptist faith and message asserts that church and state should be separate. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you discussed, I'm not going to say argued, but discussed with somebody who said that church and state should be absolutely separate? One should not have anything to do with the other. Now, I don't want a response, but do you believe that? What does it mean when we say a free church in a free state? When we make the comment that there should be separation of church and state? Well, number one, very simply, it means no state church. No church that tells the state what to do. No church that all of us have to worship under, whether it's biblically based or not. I mean, you remember enough of U.S. history to know that the Pilgrims and many others came to America to get away from a church that they believed was not practicing and teaching that which was of God's Word and which wanted to control their lives. I want everybody that doesn't know Jesus to come to salvation, but I don't want to have such power over them as a church that I tell them whatever else they have to do in their life. Or that, how would you like it if there was one state church here and we had to worship the way that church leadership tells us? Or we had to use Sunday school material that the state tells us to use. And on and on and on, the list could go. So number one, it means no state church. Number two, it means rejection of the idea that the church rely on the state to accomplish its gospel mandate and ministry. How many of you have had to work through the red tape of the U.S. government or the state government for years trying to get something done? How would you like to do that as a church? Well, we need $100,000 so we can start our building. And ten years down the road, you're still filling out papers and looking for $100,000. So, separation of church and state does not mean that New Harvest Baptist Church relies on the state to accomplish its gospel mandate and ministry. Louis D. Newton wrote, "Baptists have in every age stood stoutly and fearlessly and at times sacrificially for religious liberty and its inevitable coronary, the complete separation of church and state. Baptists must insist that the church should be independent of the state, but we must also insist that the state must not be hostile to the church or to the free and full participation of all citizens, including Christians, in the public life of the nation." This is one reason I gave you that book a while back called Kingdom Politics, because of the biblical affirmation that yes, we need to be involved in state matters. We need to be involved in politics, even if it's only by voting, but vote. And it's also why several of us in this church attend the Delaware Family Policy Council, because they keep us aware of what's coming through our local state legislation. And as you know, we live in one of the most liberal states in the country. And some of the regulations and laws that they're thinking about and discussing for approval are scary. And so we need to keep up. We need to know when to oppose certain things and how to do that in a Christian way. It doesn't mean getting out on the streets and holding a sign and protesting. It means emailing or calling your representative's office and saying, I oppose this and here's why. And they will even help you put that together, give you some ideas of what to say. And they always emphasize, remain Christian in how you say it. Because we need to be different because we are Christian. And so, again, I encourage you to come to one of our luncheons and be involved. And once I retire, I have the opportunity to join some other pastors every Thursday and go to Legislative Hall and just hang out for a couple hours, talking to representatives, talking to seniors, building relationships, and it's beginning to make a difference. And some of the ones that are not believers, some of the ones that are really liberal and part of some of these wild regulations and laws they're talking about, are beginning to ask questions of some of the pastors. And that was years and years ago. If you had told me about separation of church and state, I would have thought, okay, church shouldn't get involved in anything like that, and the state doesn't need to get involved in what we're doing. But over the years, in studying Scripture and reading books by people I respect, and seeing what has happened in this country and in this state in the 32 years that we've been here, I've come to understand I need to be involved as a Christian citizen. And being involved doesn't mean that we start following the state's doctrines and commandments. It means that we're there to oppose those things that are not biblically based. So, Christians must be free to bring their biblically informed understanding of moral truth to the nation's public policy debate as the salt and light that Christ has commanded us to be. And we looked at that last week in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, that we're salt and we're light. But unless we get involved and as Christians in the way that we are allowed to in this country, we can't be the salt and light to those that are making laws and legislation and dictating to us how we should live in the state of Delaware. And the Baptist Faith and Message expresses the Baptist understanding that the state owes every church protection and full freedom in this pursuit of its spiritual ends. The state of Delaware has a responsibility of protecting this church and allowing us to be free to practice our beliefs, to worship, to do ministry. The church must be free to fulfill the gospel ministry without interference or assistance from the state. So I hope that helps you, at least from Southern Baptist viewpoint, from my viewpoint, to understand the difference between in what separation of state and church means. Then the last major thing I want to talk to you about, and it will only take a couple of minutes, is the Bible teaches us to give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. This means that Christians, like other citizens, must pay taxes and obey the laws of the state. Government authorities, believe it or not, according to our Baptist Faith and Message, serve God by requiring obedience to law and respect for authority. religious liberty requires that Christian citizens obey the government and its laws. Matthew 20, 22, 21 talks about that when it says to us, they said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. No government has the right to coerce the conscience or to persecute citizens because of their religious conviction. Are you aware of the number of people who are getting fired as school teachers or staff members because they dared to speak up against the woke beliefs, against critical race theory? How many Christian facilities that are fighting against abortion, that have been burned or vandalized, and very little is done about it? And I know we could go on with other examples. And so no government has the right also to coerce the conscience or to persecute citizens because of their religious conviction. So here's the final thought. The Christian desire is for a free church in a free state. And men in a free state shall find free churches by which their conscience and convictions match. Let's pray.